And welcome into the Thursday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Hope everybody's doing well. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Yeah, we had some news. We had some news yesterday.
We did. There was a lot that was going on yesterday. A lot to get into on both the Titans and the Predators front today. So a lot to talk about today on the show. We'll have Paul Kuharsky coming up at 8 o'clock. As well. So looking forward to that. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Doing well, guys. When you just said we had some news, I was like, wait, what happened?
And then
I was breaking, got it.
Also, breaking news, Caroline beat me in Caroline versus Joe.
We did. Yeah. I did see that. Sorry, Mark, if you're listening.
As judged. Yeah. So Mark, I hope there was not a lot put on the line there for one thing. Also, it was very nice to just have a nice sort of adult conversation with someone. Just talk about things.
Debate.
It was fun.
Maybe the most satisfying loss you've had in this competition.
Yeah, it was definitely the least infuriating. Because Caroline Fenton, I'm sure, wins a lot of sports arguments in real life.
I'm sure she does.
Whereas Jared Stillman has never done so in his entire life.
Never won one.
I mean, third grade, he did not win a sports argument, I'm positive.
Or fourth.
Or fourth. Or kindergarten, really.
Liam on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says to win all those games, climb back into the conversation, and then for Vanderbilt to lose to a one-win team on a 14-game losing streak is the vandiest thing ever. This is from Liam on the text line.
Yeah, it's tough, man. K.J. Williams, for anybody who remembers him at Murray State, in fact, Kentucky fans sure remember him. Mm-hmm. He is a special player. He went nuts. 35 points hit every three he took, but yeah. Basically, Vanderbilt, it's pretty simple. Win the SEC tournament. I mean, you had to basically be perfect down the stretch. Pretty close to it. You certainly couldn't have a loss like this at this point. So, it's tough. Tough for them, and just the defense disappeared, man.
It'll just make the story all that much better when they win the SEC tourney.
Well, see, the thing is, you lose this game, and now you have – see, that's when you want the double bye if that's what you need, you know? So, you lose this game, and – so we'll see how they're responding against Florida, but yeah, that's you can pretty much take them off the at large board now.
Yep, I think that is definitely the case. 615-737-1025. So a busy day for the Tennessee Titans yesterday, Joe. Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham, and Randy Bullock all cut by the Titans yesterday. So I don't think any of those are really a big surprise. Certainly not Lewan, Woods, and Cunningham. We've talked about that all offseason long. We did talk about the kicker position yesterday, about how they need to upgrade there, and I guess they're listening to the show.
I guess so.
Because that's what they did yesterday, was move on from Randy Bullock. But your reaction initially to the moves by Rand Carthon and the Titans, Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham, and Randy Bullock all cut yesterday.
Yeah. Well, Lewan and Cunningham were locks.
Yep.
Now, when Cunningham wasn't announced initially, my reaction was, are they not signing David Long? Are they feeling like they need Cunningham? Because, look, after his struggles to stay healthy last year, I don't know why you'd feel comfortable, you know, paying him that amount of money. So, for whatever reason, I mean, and I know it was also officially a failed physical designation for him and for Lewan. That came along later. So, in fact, I think on the grid on the show, I put in there like, why not Cunningham? What does this mean? Yeah. And then it's like, okay, so Cunningham. But the biggest surprise is Bullock to me. Not that it's shocking, but I didn't necessarily expect that to be the case. I kind of thought maybe we'd see something along the lines of what they tried last year before Shudak got hurt, which is, okay, Randy is fine, is good. Can someone come in here and beat him out?
Right.
So instead, it's just new kicker time in Nashville.
Well, I mean, add it to the list of things that they got to figure out this offseason. Now, I guess there's a scenario if you get back to training camp and nobody's picked up Randy Bullock that you could bring him back in there
for
a competition then. But we've talked about this. I think you have to find somebody that has more distance. I mean, it's the NFL. Like, you got to be able to at least try a 55-yard field goal and have some hope that it's going to go in. Like, that's – it's the National Football League. So that has to be, I think, part of the priority for the Titans this offseason. Taylor Lewan put out a nice video yesterday reflecting on his time with the Titans. It was nice to go down memory lane of the former face of the franchise, as I called him at one point on this program.
No, that's right.
I did forget about a lot of the early days of the getting kicked out of games and some of those.
Oh, like that Raiders game where he just bowling balled everyone on the field and 15 yards and late as they're trying to come back. Yeah, he had some moments. Got the captaincy stripped. Man, I think with Lawan, man, and we talked about this so many times, and I guess it doesn't matter now because he's cut. Well, I don't think it matters. The Caroline versus Joe yesterday that I lost, one of the questions was about how we should remember him, and I said, well, I mean, I'm not 100% sure that it's just going to be reminiscing, and this is actually why I lost. Vingan said, no way they're bringing him back. I don't understand why anyone is so adamantly against the idea if you can get him for like a couple mil.
Right. Now, I would say it's probably not likely that he's back.
I would say
for a multitude of reasons, both on the Titans side of things and on his side of things. Like, I don't think we still have any idea whether or not he wants to play football. So I have the odds are he's not back. But I'm with you. Like, I think to totally rule that out when you have as many problems that you have to fix on an offensive line as they've got to fix right now. I mean, let's think about this. You have a left tackle that's now open. You have a left guard position that, in my opinion, you need to address. You have a center position that I have no idea whether or not Ben Jones is coming back next year. Now, maybe they do, and maybe they have an idea of what's going on there. I'm sure certainly they have a better idea than I do. Right guard, Nate Davis is about to be a free agent. And right tackle, you drafted somebody last year in the third round who was okay at times last year. Like, your offensive line, you got a whole lot of work to do. So, like, the idea of just totally ruling that out, I can't get there. I don't think it's likely, but I'm not ruling it out.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's likely. I mean, Lawan has said things to the effect of if he were going to play, he would prefer to be here. So he's at least floated that. Like, Caroline was like, well, yes, here we are arguing this. It's like, well, you know, how could you trust it? You know, but I'm like, I get that, but that's why, like, for a couple million dollars, what if you get five good games out of him? What if you draft someone and then, oh, Paris Johnson isn't ready to start right now, you know? Right. What if someone gets hurt? And if that's your swing tackle, I mean, you could do a lot worse. Again, it's also, if he wants to play, of course, if this second surgery actually has worked. But if it has, and I know it's two ACLs in a row, but it's not like he's ancient either.
Yeah, I mean, if it's worked and he gets completely healed, like, I still think he can be a good player. Now, I don't think that he can return to peak level Taylor Lewan. Like, I think those days are gone at this point. But, I mean, he can be significantly better than what you had at left tackle a year ago. Now, that shouldn't be the bar. I realize that. But I still look at this offensive line and think to myself, like, there's only so much the Titans are going to be able to do this all. That's a lot to fix in one offseason. And you mentioned, like, how could you trust it? I understand that thought process. I really do. But, like, I would say the same thing about, like, if you chose to bring Aaron Brewer back at left guard. Well, how could you trust that? Like, I don't know how you could trust that either. For different reasons. Not that he's hurt. Just wasn't good enough last year. So, I mean, you can talk about the trust part of the offensive line for a multitude of reasons. Like, I don't know if I trust Nicholas Petitfrere, right tackle.
Right.
Like, he was okay.
You're going to have to. Like, they're going to have to, I think. Right? I mean, like, basically it's like, take a big step, man. You know, he had some good moments. He had some bad moments. He needs to take a big step.
Yep.
And really, you need Ben Jones to not retire, which is no sure thing.
Right.
Based on I'm still going back to Jimmy Wyatt's mailbag, you know, with Nate Davis. And if you look at the cap situation, they cleared a lot of space yesterday. You know, they cleared whatever it is, $38 million or so. Yep. If you take into account everything dead money, that's still, that still leaves them just with a little bit of room. Now, they will restructure some things. They will create more space, but you have a lot of things. You have, because I think David Long Jr. has to be a priority. So then, if you're not signing Nate Davis, okay, that's a lot. That's a lot to address in one off season. It's just not snap your fingers. You're going to have to make all good choices.
Yeah. Like, you could potentially have to change four positions on your offensive line. Now, I think Aaron Brewer is going to be there in some fashion. Like, I mean, I guess he's either going to be the left guard, or if Ben Jones retires, he's the center. Like, I think the center part makes sense.
Well, I think he might be a backup guard, ideally, slash center, or the starting center.
Yeah.
I don't think they want him to start at guard again.
I mean, I don't know how you could. But again, there's lots you got to fix on the offensive line. Like, you know, I know free agency's coming up, and there's some names on the offensive line at guard that you could target if you're the Titans. So we'll see whether or not they do that, including Nate Davis at guard. We'll see what happens on that front. But, you know, now you've got a left tackle position that's wide open. Now, if they draft a Paris Johnson or somebody with 11 overall, like, to me, that person has to come in and start. Like, you can't draft a tackle at number 11 overall and then not come in and play for you.
I agree. You also better be ready for some rookie ups and downs, you know. But, yeah, absolutely. If you draft at 11 and you take him or if Skoronski somehow, most people seem to be projecting Skoronski, the Northwestern kid, higher than him. If you get someone at that spot, they have to start for you right away.
615-737-1025. We're off and running on Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025-1063 The Game.
So someone on the text line asked me about a player who I think is absolutely very intriguing based on these cuts, who was not part of them.
I think I know where you're going with this. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road. Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We're live from our 1025 The Game studio, sponsored by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our buddy Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning.
Hey, how y'all doing, Robbie?
Joe? Good, Mark.
Jim? Good, man.
Hey, Robbie, you're right. Titans do have a lot to fix. They're not going to be able to get it all in the draft and through free agency, but they're going to have to kind of get, pick and go from there. Maybe they'll get a couple of good offensive linemen out of the final cuts in spring and in training camp or something or whatnot. I think I know where you're going with that player with the final cut. I was wondering yesterday why they didn't cut Bud Dupree. I don't know why they're keeping Bud. I don't really think Bud has fulfilled his contract and really played up to his capabilities or anything like that. And Joe, while I got you on the phone, you had it won yesterday, so you mentioned the one, and that might have caused you the win yesterday. That could have been three in a row for you.
I know, man. I just hope that didn't, I hope. You're not out a lot today because of it, Mark.
We didn't bet yesterday, okay. Joe. But I tell you what, man, we're gonna have to get a picture of Adam now and put Adam on the dartboard.
That's right.
he caused you that victory yesterday and stuff. But hey, man, I love you guys and stuff, man. I just thought I wanted to holler at you about that. And you may could bring LaJuan back, like you said, non-guaranteed. Maybe pay him $1 million, $1.5 million. It probably wouldn't hurt, but like you said, he's better than a lot of the linemen he's got on the team. It just depends on his knee and then if he's able to come back from it. But y'all have a good day and stuff, man.
Mark, we love you too. Thanks for calling in. So I think Mark nailed it in terms of the player where you were going, and we've had a couple of questions about that so far. So LaJuan cut yesterday, Woods cut yesterday, and we'll get into that going up here in just a few minutes because I thought there was something pretty interesting in the aftermath of that yesterday. Cunningham cut and Randy Bullock cut. Bud Dupree was not a part of the cuts yesterday. What did you make of Bud Dupree, as of this moment, still remaining with the Titans and under contract?
Yeah, well, look, it's interesting. I mean, I thought he was the most of all the – I don't know if you'd call them likely cuts, but I guess of all the possible cuts, the people that you would think of, I thought before this that he was the toughest call. And we've talked about it. I mean, we just talked about it with TD. You know, TD, and I don't hate TD's idea, which is talking about some kind of restructure. Now, with him, I don't think we're talking just restructure. We're talking pay cut.
Which how many people do that?
Yeah, not a lot. You know, it's one of those things, though. If you're Bud Dupree, or if you're the NFL looking at Bud Dupree, what's the market for Bud Dupree right now? I mean, he may be better off just being out there, and someone may take a flyer. But you're talking about a guy who, he's played 17 games in 2 years.
Yep.
And he has 7 sacks in those 17 games. Like Mark said, Mark's absolutely right. There's no question he has not come close to playing up to the contract. But that's not what matters. What matters is, can he now? Do you believe he can now? $20.2 million cap hit this year for Bud Dupree. Problem is, move on from Bud Dupree. So someone on the text line asked, I don't know the ins and outs of the cap, but why wasn't – I don't think this is about the cap. I think this is about just the question of, really, do you feel like Bud Dupree can still be a difference maker for you? And it is not as simple as – to me, the production hasn't been there. There have been moments, stretches – including mostly in 21, but with Landry on the field too, where that Bud Dupree looked pretty good.
Yep.
Last year, in flashes, when he was healthy, are you going to pay $20.2 million for someone who's struggling this much to stay healthy?
I'm not.
To keep paying? You're done.
No, if he's not coming back from a lower cap hit, I'd he's just been hurt too much. Is that going to get better as he gets older? I have my doubts on that.
Yeah. No, I absolutely hear that. If you do move on from him, you're looking at Harold Landry coming off an ACL.
Yep.
Rashad Weaver.
Yep.
Who's, solid. And there's another big need that you have to address to me pretty prominently. I think any sort of equation for the Titans next year that leads to a lot of winning involves a dominant defense. And if your edge – again, if you bring Dupree back, pay him, strap yourself in other ways because of it, and you have the same stuff where he's in 1 week, out 1 week, and, pretty good one game and then kind of disappears another, well, then that's not going to help you have a dominant defense either. I'm just saying you put this at the high on the list of needs if you are moving on from him, to me.
Could he be a candidate for a post-June 1st cut? Because I'm looking at over the cap, and pre-June 1st, it's a $10.8 million dead money hit, and post-June 1st, it's a $4.4 million dead money hit.
Yeah, and you can do the designation. Kaharski, who we'll have on later, had a tweet about this. And it's what they did. They did the same thing with Julio Jones last year.
Correct.
Did, and you can do this with, I believe it's two players. I think you can do this with two. Unless that's changed. I think that's right. I'll look that up to make sure, but I believe that's right. The post-June 1 designation, of course. You can't use the money.
Right.
But you can. But ultimately, you'd be in a better cap situation if you do that. So, yeah, it would be post-June 1. You basically what you do with that is, then the dead money gets spread out over the next 2 years. So, yeah, the bottom line is it's $6 million better off for the cap if you do that. Than if you do it. So, yeah, they could do that. But I don't know. I'm just not convinced that they're convinced to move on from it. It's really interesting. I think it's a possibility. I think it's possible that they look at him and say, look, there's some things that are just gonna, you're going to have to get some good luck on.
Yeah.
Like you said last year, well, that luck's not going to be this is bad. Well, maybe after 2 years of this crap,
it
actually will totally flip around for them. And he may just be one of those, although I agree. I think you have to look into changing his deal. But he may be one of those, here's a guy who we just need him to be healthy, and he can still be really good. And I do believe it's possible you could get a really good year out of him.
Well, I think it's possible too, and I think a huge risk to pay him that amount of money and to rely on him being healthy. It'd be different if it was just one or two times. It felt like every time Bud Dupree stepped on the field this past year, he was getting hurt.
Yeah.
And it was all year long. Now, I realize he's not alone there. Zach Cunningham was basically the same way, and he just got shown the door. But I'm really interested to see how they handle Bud Dupree, because to your point, we've talked about offensively the different things that they got to fix. You just released Robert Woods yesterday. We know that they have to address wide receiver. We know they have to address the offensive line. you know, if you start to look at the defensive side of things and Bud Dupree's not there anymore, like, I think Rashad Weaver is okay. I think he's fine. I think you probably need either Rashad Weaver to take a big step, or you need somebody better than Rashad Weaver on the other side of Harold Landry on that defense.
You need depth, and he's going to play.
For sure.
But, yeah.
So, I mean, how many needs are you going to create for yourself this offseason?
Exactly.
Is the question.
Yeah, and we haven't even gotten into corner. Like, how do you feel about corner? Because Christian Fulton is another guy who is absolutely a good player when he's right, but he has been hurt a lot too. So, you know, Elijah Molden basically just missed his second year. Now, I think Molden, Fulton, McCreary could be a really nice corner trio for you. But how comfortable are you with that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even talking about Caleb Farley. To me, like, he's cut or he's, you know, see if he can be a special teams guy. But I think a corner to just help with the depth and have another guy on a rookie deal is also something they probably going to need to look at. How about safety depth? That's kind of important,
yeah,
too.
That is.
They don't have
too.
That.
Well, I mean, you know, you had your second starting safety last year had to play slot corner for half the year
was hurt a lot of the year too.
He was hurt a lot of the year too. So it's a really interesting spot they're in. There are two big questions that I've got from these moves that took place yesterday. The more I thought about it, the more it kind of intrigues me about the Titans as they move forward here. We'll get into those coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Some roster moves yesterday. Taylor Lewan, Robert Woods, Zach Cunningham, and Randy Bullock all cut by the Titans yesterday. We're discussing that now and taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So two questions that I have coming out of yesterday, Joe, that are interesting to me. Number one, sticking on the defensive side of the ball, what happens now if they don't sign David Long Jr.? Yeah, because I think the Zach Cunningham thing is not a surprise. Like, you just can't pay Zach Cunningham the money that he was owed based on what happened with him last year and how unavailable he was. And quite frankly, when he was in there, it was not worth the money. So now you have him gone and you have David Long Jr. scheduled to be a free agent. Now, I think you and I are on the same page. I think that he needs to be a priority for the Titans to bring back this offseason. But there's also a chance that that doesn't work out and he goes elsewhere. We've got the distinguished gentleman on YouTube that says David Long could get crazy money on the open market. I'll be surprised if he's back. I don't know if he can get crazy money on the open market, but there will be some interest in David Long. I have no doubt about that. So what do the Titans do if they can't come to terms with David Long Jr. and he's gone right now at linebacker?
Yeah, I don't know about crazy money either, but certainly – NFL GMs are more conscious of David Long Jr. and what he is as a player than like most of, like, certainly like basically 99% of NFL media,
yes,
you know, outside of this town. So he can get paid. He will get paid. He should get paid. He's a good player. He's a really good player. And, you know, David Long Jr. may end up being a very good example of the cap being real, because what if the Titans can swing something for a big-time receiver to come in here and all of a sudden be like receiver one or co-receiver one or something? I mean, Higgins, you know, on Evans, whatever. Some of the fantasy football conversations we've had already. What if there's some serious investment in the free agent market on the offensive line? I mean, there's certain things, you know, again, you can do a lot. You can restructure a lot. You can create space for sure. But this is where I think Nate Davis is also. I mean, if you had just carte blanche and you could just do whatever you want to do, I don't see why you wouldn't want Nate Davis back, even though he's been banged up and it's kind of gone in a bad direction in the last couple of years. I still feel like with all the other questions, you would. But I think if he is gone, part of that is like, look, you got to make some tough choices somewhere, and you just got to be cheap and young in more places. David Long Jr., I think, should be a priority regardless. But if you are going to do something big, somewhere else, he may have to be gone, and you may have to go with Monty Rice and Dylan Cole.
Well, that's the thing. Like the Monty Rice part of this, I totally realize it's a different general manager now. So the drafting him in the third round part of this, and it doesn't ultimately matter that much anymore because the guy who drafted him's not here. But like if you're Vrabel, I do wonder, like, what have you seen from Monty Rice over the past couple of years? Have you seen enough to convince you that he can play at a starting level at the NFL at linebacker?
How long has he been healthy?
Not very long.
Which is puts him right in line with the rest of the roster.
I know.
But, yeah, I don't see how – I don't. Even if they sign David Long Jr., to me, it's like it is urgent, critical that Monty Rice is healthy and is good next year. I will say, though, Chance Campbell, don't forget about him.
Yep.
Because Chance Campbell, before he got hurt, shocker, headline, breaking, Titan got hurt. But Chance Campbell is promising. Certainly, I think, is like a third – you know, Campbell, Cole, I mean, you have some nice stories, some – you know,
yep.
Low investment. I mean, I'm trying to think. I think Cole was a undrafted, and Campbell, what did they get him in the sixth round last year?
I think so. Yep.
So you could be okay, and that's what some spots on the field you're gonna have to. I hate this. This is almost rant worthy. Well, inside linebacker isn't a premium position, so you don't pay someone. That you can't look at it like that. Is someone a good football player?
Right.
Look at like when Tampa Bay's defense was right. How important were their inside linebackers to their whole thing?
Pretty darn important.
I mean, come on. And you're not paying them like a premium edge player. You won't. You won't have to. And that's the thing about tagging them too, by the way, is the way that they designate things, those two are grouped together. There's no way you're tagging
him. No. Just,
because
just
then you're paying him like 20-some million.
Yeah, you can't
that is not happening.
Just not going to happen. Now, Joey from Bellevue brings up an interesting point, and I've thought about this with David Long Jr. as well. He says he's missed a ton of games, too, and Vrabel called him out about his availability. They can't overpay him. This is from Joey from Bellevue. And, you know, thinking back to the repeat offender comments that Vrabel talked about, I mean, he's talked about David Long Jr. and Christian Fulton and the soft tissue injuries that they've had. And I do wonder, like, how does Vrabel view that part of it with David Long Jr. as they move forward?
Well, right, that's the biggest deterrent to re-signing him. There's so many guys like that. Go back a year when we were talking about A.J. Brown. It's like the only thing is he going to continue to have injury stuff? Get out of here, and all of a sudden you stop having injury problems. But, it's definitely – now. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think that David Long – I think this is the first year, or am I wrong about that? That he was really struggling with injuries. I mean, I thought he pretty much played all of 21. Am I wrong about that? I could be misremembering because there's just been so many injuries.
1,000 injuries? I need to go look at the game log. I don't remember him being like just totally a problem being hurt all the time.
Right, like last year, I mean, and it made – that's the thing, though, too, is – it just really affected the defense when he was out last year.
Well, he played 10 games in 21. Played 12 last year.
Okay. Well, I'm wrong. I don't even remember. I don't remember but it is. It's soft tissue has largely been his problem. So he played and he was in 14. And, in his rookie year, he's based on special teams until late. Jan Brown gets hurt. All of a sudden, David Long. It's like, wow, this guy can play. This is also a sixth-round pick, by the way, out of West Virginia.
There's another question that I came away wondering yesterday in the aftermath of the Titans' cuts, and that's with Robert Woods. And we've talked about Robert Woods. I thought the Titans should cut him. I wouldn't put him as a lock in Lawan and Cunningham, as we've talked about, but I thought, I mean, it makes a whole lot of sense for the Titans to cut Robert Woods. And I may – by full admission of myself, I may be about to go full Jared here, so prepare yourself for this.
Oh, boy.
But I saw his tweet yesterday, and all it says is free with an exclamation point. And I'm fully aware that that could just mean, you know what, hey, man, I'm available. Looking forward to free agency, all this other stuff. But, there wasn't a, hey, thanks to the Titans for trade for me, all this other stuff. It was just free. And it got me thinking about A.J. Brown. And some of the comments that he's had about the Titans and, not very fun in there. He's talked about how much he loves playing for Sirianni in Philadelphia, all these different things. Now, in fairness, A.J. Brown has also talked about how much he loves Rob Moore. So I have to throw that out there too. But I don't know. I just saw that tweet from Robert Woods yesterday, and I was like, man, do wide receivers really like hate playing for the Titans this much? Is it the coaching staff? Is it just the offense? Like, do wide receivers just hate playing for the Titans? That did cross my mind yesterday when I saw that tweet.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a little Jarrett-y.
It's a little Jarrett.
I don't think you're going full Jarrett with that. I thought too. I was like, eh. I mean, I guess like Caroline and I talked about this yesterday, and Irvin, she didn't like it, you know. And I'm like, eh, I don't know. First of all, after playing 1 year in that offense, as bad as that offense was, I guess I'd kind of feel liberated too, getting away from that offense. Now, I agree with Caroline and anybody who says, yeah, Robert Woods also dropped
a bunch
of passes that he should have caught. He wasn't very good. I mean, I think he's a certain age and coming off an ACL, and we all kind of overlooked that. And he didn't come here to be pseudo wide receiver one. He didn't come here to sit here on draft night and be like, wait, what, they did what?
Yeah.
What? AJ's gone? You know, I don't know. Maybe that's it. I also think if you're Robert Woods right now and you're on the, first of all, you could make the case if you're his agent, you know, do the, hey, it was great Titans and I really appreciate it. But the response also could be like with the mindset of, hey, I'm good. Don't judge me based on this crappy offense I was in. I'm good, everybody.
Yeah, like I just saw it just says free. It's like he escaped jail or
something.
Right, I'm out. Yes, thank God. I'm no longer with the Titans. And I was just like, man, like do wide receivers really hate playing for the Titans that much?
Maybe he doesn't like Nashville.
Nah, maybe not. I don't know. I saw that tweet yesterday, and I was just like, geez, man.
Is it that bad? Was it that bad? I mean, it was that bad. I mean, just from like – watching the offense he was in, was that bad? So playing in it may not have been all that fun, I guess. Probably not. Like, hey, I'm open. Oh, he got sacked again. Well, hey, I'm open. Oh, Malik Willis is a quarterback.
In fairness, right. Hey, I'm open didn't happen a whole lot with Robert Woods last year.
It's like, actually, Robert, no, you weren't.
This guy's attached to my hip. Why is this defender on top of me every snap? I don't know.
Maybe
so you don't think it's a full Jarrett take by me? Just like kind of a half Jarrett take by me?
Well, the thing is, yeah, no, that's not – I mean, come on. A full Jarrett take, I'm expecting some face melters, okay? But, you know, the thing is, like, A.J. Brown, he didn't really – and I know it's always after the fact, but, yeah, I guess he did say the whole fun thing.
He did. But
is that Rob Moore?
I'm just saying. A.J. Brown talked about how it's not any fun playing with the Titans, and now Robert Woods talking about freedom from getting away from him. It just made me think.
I was going to say we could blame Todd Downing for all of that, but then again, Downing was already gone before Woods got cut yesterday, so that's not it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Maybe the Titans have a cultural problem at wide receiver. 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the cuts the Titans made yesterday, and what is the legacy of Taylor Lewan, if this is indeed it for his tenure with the Titans. We'll get into all that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. We've discussed Robert Woods' free comment yesterday on Twitter.
Freedom! Good job, Megan.
And Megan on the text line says, Robert Braveheart Woods. Devin from Dover says, it's the first time Woods has ever gotten free while with the Titans. Scott in Hoptown says, it's the most separation Bobby Trees has had all year.
Oh, my. You guys are on your game text today. Line 6 a.m. hour. You're on your
their game.
Game
today.
They're on their game like that.
John says, it's wide receiver purgatory because of Derrick Henry. This is from John on the text line.
What does that mean?
I guess because they run the ball so much.
Yeah, I heard A.J. Brown. He really struggled to make plays and be good and get paid a lot of money. Sucked for A.J. Brown to be on a team with Derrick Henry. Man, that was tough.
He was fourth in the league receiving this year on a team without Derrick Henry.
Well, that's true. Was he good here?
I mean, yeah, he's pretty good. I'm just saying.
I mean, he didn't have
– numbers went up.
His numbers did go up. But I feel like if you're good at receiver in this offense, you may be okay. I feel like if the offensive line blocks for you – and blocks for Derrick Henry, blocks for everyone, you might have a chance.
Just saying. All I can go by is the numbers. Just throwing it out there.
Culture problem.
Culture problem at wide receiver.
Per Robbie Stanley.
That's what we figured out today.
What's the deal with this? What's the culture?
Why, Mike, do all the wide receivers hate playing for your offense? What's going on here?
It's because Jared's on a beach somewhere, and so you feel like you got to fill the void.
He's got to go for it, yes. So with Taylor Lewan now cut, again, not a surprising move by the Titans. We'll see what that means for his future in the National Football League and what he decides to do as they move forward here. As somebody who's been around him a lot, if I were to ask you the legacy of Taylor Lewan as a Tennessee Titan, who was the longest tenured Tennessee Titan, is now no more, what would come to mind for you? What's your answer of the legacy that Taylor Lewan leaves behind as left tackle for the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah, we kind of talked about this yesterday in Caroline versus Joe. You know, one thing that Caroline said that I think a lot of people think, but I totally disagree with, is that, like, once he had the PED situation in 2019, he was never the same. I would actually argue that some of the best football he played in his life was the back half of that year and then the first part of 20 before he had the ACL. He was great.
The first part of 20 before he got hurt, like, Ryan Tannehill was, like, back in the pocket, just like patting the football. Right. Like, I got all day back here, man.
People forget that. Yeah. I mean, I remember, like, last year in 21, I tried to tell this to Jared, and he's like, "Nah, offensive line is the same thing." Yeah, like, what? I mean, the Titans, the second half of 19. I hope you like that impersonation. And the first half of 20, I think they were a top five offensive line, but especially at the end of 19 with Conklin still. With Nate Davis figuring it out, Ben Jones, you know, Saffold, first year, still really good figuring it out, and Lewan at a Pro Bowl level. I think you could make the case that that offensive line was the best offensive line in football the last, like, month of the season and into the postseason, or maybe the last 6 weeks of the season in the postseason. I mean, it was on a very short list of the best offensive lines in football. I mean, you think about different discussion, but think about this year if they draft – you know, an offensive tackle at 11, say. I mean, you're talking about four attempts to keep trying to replenish that offensive line since 20. Yep. In the top three rounds of the draft, two in the first round.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Lewan's legacy. Yeah, just as a very good player. A very good player, a very big personality to you, the face of the franchise.
For a specific period of time.
But also, I think someone who grew up a ton, again, if you want to make it like a personal observation thing with me, I did observe Taylor Lewan in college, and it was a little bit of a bleep show, okay? A great, you know, great talent, but my God. Talk about someone who needed to grow up. And, you know, I mean, he's a big personality, and it rubs some people the wrong way. But he went from whatever happened when Malarkey taking his captaincy and some of the stupid penalties and stuff like that to, you know, I think growing up a lot, becoming a family man off the field and all that stuff, but just, I think, growing into being a great player for the Titans. I think some Titans fans, maybe because of the personality, underrate him as a player.
I'm trying to determine if my favorite Taylor Lewan memory is when there's three that come to mind.
Boss Hogg, I hope.
Well, Boss Hogg is good. It's not in my top three. Whenever there's a scrum breaking out on the field and he just ran 30 yards away and sat down so he wouldn't get a penalty, that was pretty good.
That was good.
Throwback was screen good to him against the Colts where he scored a touchdown was pretty good. And after they beat Washington, like, I don't know, back in 18 or whatever it was,
Josh
he got
Norman.
All in Josh Norman's face. That's pretty good. I mean, there's a few I can pick from.
Those are good. Yeah, yeah. Well, look, just – again, selfishly, personally.
Josh Norman's had some tough times on that field, the more I think about it.
He has. You know, he's taken some lumps on that field in different ways. Anyone who, you know, media around the Titans, it is a devastating loss.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a devastating loss. I mean, this year it was awful to not have him because say what you want. And some people are like, well, he just likes the microphone. He's got a podcast. Taylor Lewan would sit there and he would tell you what he really thought after every game. Win, lose, whatever it was. And sometimes, yeah, he might be like, yeah, we don't get enough attention. And they go lose a game.
Yep.
And he'd take some crap for it. But ultimately, he would talk honestly and openly and in great detail and give you great insight about football. So I'll miss out. I mean, look, I had some like run-ins with him for sure. One time he got really pissed at me about this. I wrote a column about how LeJuan was complaining because everybody in the town is like against Mariota, like media. And I was like, that's just completely idiotic. And so we had this big like argument in the locker room and stuff and whatever. It's fine. I mean, that was kind of the perception at the time.
Yep.
A lot of people had. If you want to go back to the whole Mariota discussion, which I know what side you were on of that, I was more on the I guess I was on the wrong side of Mariota history, I guess. But anyway, he'll be missed badly by media, and I'm sticking with it. We're talking about his legacy. I would absolutely give him a call if I were the Titans. And just gauge the possibility of another year of him on a very cheap deal.
I got a texter that says, people forget how many penalties LeJuan had in many rough games outside of 2019-20 where he played well, but I think his likability always stemmed from when he was hurt and coming back or his podcast. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line, or Matt from Nolensville, excuse me.
Jared from Spring Hill said Conklin is better than LeJuan. You know, I mean, Conklin was an all-pro as a rookie in 16.
They played two different positions.
Yeah. I mean, look, they were a great combination. LeJuan, a big part of the Titans going from the worst team in the league in 14 and 15 to all of a sudden a good team from 16 on was the offensive line, and it was LeJuan. I mean, LeJuan in 16 and 17 and 18, he was really good. I mean, really good.
Yep.
So yes, he had too many penalties, and we'll all remember, like, the Cardinals game of 21. He's coming off the ACL. He was terrible.
We will remember that.
But, game. I mean,
for no other reason than the PA announcement.
Do the announcement, Joe.
I can't do it on demand. I should have thought of that, but I can't do it. Welcome I've already been in. Doing some bad Jared impersonations that people are giving me crap for on the text line.
I know he's giving up
five sacks so far. Sorry, I had to do it.
Oh, just beautiful. Uncle Fingus on the text line says, as of right now, do you think the Titans have the worst receiving core in the league? Also, do you think they have the worst offensive line in the league? If not, who's worse? This is from Fingus on the text line.
Boy, you know, the way you put it that way, Fingus, my goodness.
I mean, Texans wide receiver core is pretty bad.
Yeah, probably them and the Bears. But
Bears wide receiver core is pretty bad. Well, it's pretty close, though.
Texans have Cooks and another pretty good receiver whose name eludes me right now. I think they're better than the Titans.
Maybe. Well, they may be.
Look at someone on the text saying, that's insane. He's horrible. Goodbye. Okay. Oh, Jared from Spring Hill says, LeJuan played great on his PEDs. Again, that's fine. If that's, you know, whatever happened there, I don't know. He had a four-game suspension. He explained it, how he explained it. But you know what? Again, 19 and 20, I would argue, some of his best football without question.
615
after that suspension.
615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans. We'll have Paul Koharski from paulkoharski.com coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation with him as well. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll also get into some interesting stuff that Jeff Darlington from ESPN had to say on the Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr situation yesterday as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.